Holy fuck, I'm scared.
I talk nicely to them and try and get them to come closer.
Hi, everyone. This is...
Hello.
This is your pal, Austin. And this what you're listening to right now, is the fourth episode of the Your Personal Opinion is Wrong podcast. Okay, brief note, right after introductions, we are going to try our darndest to get a name down. Agreed?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Okay, joining me on this this fine occasion is R. I'll go with R. Our ambassador from Colorado, Mr. Steve.
Hello, everybody.
Our ambassador from Buffalo, Kyle.
Hey.
Who you will notice does not sound like utter garbage this week. And
yeah.
I mentioned
you
this.
Really should have stopped the podcast.
I mentioned this last week, Kyle. I never get tired of making fun of your microphone. It's literally it just gives me more joy than anything on this earth. And lastly, our ambassador from that place that is in America, Mark.
Hello, everyone.
That's Mark.
Yes.
Anywho's unnamed. Now I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I enjoy Your personal podcast is wrong, or your podcast opinion is wrong. That's it. Your podcast opinion is wrong.
Yeah, I feel like we could do something with the same letters, but yeah, switch out the P for podcast.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I think that might be a tad bit. This is not interesting to listen to, but I think we should stop using the acronym because that's not good for search engines. Because if you know, tell someone you write for a blog called Your Personal Opinion is Wrong, they're not going to go ahead and search that acronym, which I think is a mistake we made with the blog pretty early, but we can rectify that with the podcast. I think we should. I like your podcast opinion, and, you know, if any, maybe just like a, I don't know, what does everybody else think?
That's a pretty apt title, because it is just us shouting over each other, right?
Oh, that's true.
that's
actually double meaning. No, I was thinking of it just like as a plan words of the title of the blog. But like, if our opinions on this podcast would be podcast opinions, then they aren't wrong.
That's cheese, pavement.
I think it's very apropos.
IDM genre.
Yeah. I've completely 180'd on that. I love that now, and I think it's
podcast named.
Your podcast opinion is wrong.
It's subtle.
Good job.
It has been decided.
Unless we have to create from this day onwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I got that out of the way.
Cool. Now, I
that
guess.
That was the only thing holding this podcast back, was the
name.
All
right, absolutely.
Good episode, everybody.
All right. High fives.
May as well quit while we're ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I guess on to our next segment. Okay. I should mention, as sort of an apology segment from last week, I said I was going to put in some awesome segment music leading up to this, and I forgot to do that. And so it's just us making weird segment music with our mouths, which I think it would be the funniest thing ever if I took that audio from last episode and just edited it over this episode.
Inserted? Yeah, go ahead.
The
sound of the slide whistle for every...
Ooh, yeah. We should bring that slide whistle back.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, but in all seriousness, the segment music will go here. And welcome to our first segment, which is What Are You Listening To? And this is the segment where we talk about what we are listening to.
Wait, really?
I need to bring up my last FM.
Yeah, I know.
I have mine up right now. It helps a lot.
Okay. Anybody ready to go, or should I?
Well, I mean, I just 5 minutes ago finished listening to Milo's new mixtape, Milo Takes Baths. And I understand Mark and Austin, you have as well.
I have as well.
Yep. Fuck.
Kyle?
Alright, I'll just sit this one out, because I only listened to, like, 3 songs. I'm a little bit on board.
I think we should save this discussion for next week, because, you know, it did literally come out an hour and a half ago. And granted, it's only 20 minutes long, but, you know, everyone has not listened to it yet. And,
How happy would Milo be to know that there's 4 people that were listening to his mixtape the second it came out?
That's true. Hopefully enough to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe. Let's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Cross your
What's
fingers.
What's he gonna say? No? Come on, don't make me laugh.
Yeah, he might.
That's true.
And he has to worry about his
ponies.
I'm so hurt, so...
I think everybody has to worry about that.
I have never turned down anybody for
ponies
too hard. Just... Just to put that out there, so I don't think that would necessarily push him back.
I mean, it causes...
What about two buff?
And all that problems.
Okay. We should probably...
Wow.
This is...
We're getting sidetracked here.
This is...
Guys. So the basic point is, Milo has a new tape out, you all should listen to it, we'll talk about it later.
I think my new catchphrase should be, oh my god, I'm gonna edit all of this out. Because it puts so many situations on this podcast.
And then never edit any of it out.
And then not edit it. Anyway, I also listened to it and I enjoyed it, yes. Anyway, I guess I'll go. I've been, again, well, actually, since the last episode, I did not have a chance to listen to a new album, so I've been, I'll just mention some stuff I listened to earlier this week, and it was, now, Steve, you're the Japan aficionado, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Himuro Yoshiteru?
That sounds about right. Let me look up, Himuro Yoshiteru. Yeah, you were...
Yeah, you speak Japanese?
I took a year of Japanese, so I have, like, beginning Japanese, and I know how to pronounce things, but that was an age ago.
Yeah, Steve... It's
very good.
Steve is our resident Japan expert, and you'll see evidence of that on his occasional Samsonite Samurai article column. For the blog, where he reviews various Japanese albums. This particular Japanese album, Himuro Yoshiteru, is a very sort of Prefuse 73 type glitchy glitch hop album, and I enjoyed it. It's called, I've forgotten already.
It's called Our Turn Anytime.
Yes, that's it. Our Turn
Yeah,
Anytime.
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit as well.
Oh, you listened to it. Okay, I didn't know you listened to it.
Yeah, because, you mentioned it on the What Are You Listening To thread, and yeah, it sounded cool, and basically if something has a Japanese name, I'll at least listen to it. That's just kind of how I work.
And to say nothing of Japanese glitch hop, Tokimonsta, anybody? Tokimonsta?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, knew there was another fan there somewhere. But it's a very sort of enjoyable... I mean, you know, it's not... not profound or anything, but it's a very sort of enjoyable, glitchy, skittery, wonky, other adjectives.
Yeah, it actually reminded me quite a bit of Rusty's Glass Swords.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, it did sort of. There are some sort of...
Yeah, it had some similar, like, chiptunes type stuff, and yeah, just kind of all over the place. Yeah, really good.
It's weird, because there's a lot of, you know, more than you might think, chiptune influence in some of that, you know, glitch hop, experimental hip hop. Like, Flying Lotus, you know, there's, mm-hmm. you know, Nintendo synthesizers abound, and, you know, a lot of other people. It's, I think a lot of sort of chiptune by itself is really, not childish, but it not serious enough to, you know, provide a meaty listen to, but you know, I think a lot of trip hop people do it nicely.
You know, the most I listen to chiptunes music is on KeyGens, and I think I actually talked about Steve about this on Twitter.
Yeah,
like when you pirate shit, the KeyGens have like the most amazingly catchy chiptunes music.
Wait, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the music plays while you crack the software. It's I don't know who thought of that, but whoever it is, they deserve like a Nobel Prize.
Wow, that's awesome.
They're all on YouTube too. I'll show you some sometime.
I'll put some of these as background music as we're talking right now.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah. Also, another thing I was listening to this week was, I believe it's something you, Steve, had mentioned the first time, which is Chalices of the Past.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, you know, saw that just lurking around in my iTunes after, you know, I listened to it a few months ago. And it's really good. Like, I had forgotten how much I love that thing. It's an EP called Too Rude. And Chalices of the Past are, I don't know if it's one dude or a few dudes, but, or women. Want to make this podcast very female friendly, as we know it already. Yeah. But it's this sort of really it's to some extent it is sort of chiptune-y. It's got a lot of sort of chiptune, you know, sparkly synthesizers and everything, and uses a lot of, you know, Jamaican sort of ska rock steady melodies, and you know, there's some steel drum on there. And then just these really sort of clipped, distorted electronics and, you know, drum kits and everything. And just ridiculously catchy songs to the point where I'm, you know, humming them in my head right now. It's good.
Yeah,
and,
I
go ahead.
Yeah, I actually forgot I posted about that. I should listen to that again, too.
Go ahead.
I forgot actually how I stumbled across that, but... Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you said. Especially the songs with the steel drums, the little flavor of Tropicália. I love that.
It's very, you know, it's just something you can, I think it's just like, you know, 12, 15 minutes long, the whole EP, you can just, you know, throw it on and it's enjoyable.
Oh yeah, it's really short.
And the last track, which I don't think I listened to the first time around, was a 8-bit double time remix of Ignition by R. Kelly. And I don't know why. I've listened to it literally 40 times in the last few days because it's like a minute long. There's something about it that keeps...
No, it's really good.
Yeah, it's... They had two other EPs. One was called Yucatan Explorers, and the other one is newer. And when the other one came out actually this year, which I didn't get a chance to listen to, but the Yucatan Explorers wasn't quite as good. But this one, Too Rude, very, very worth your time.
Well, I mean, if it's only 15 minutes, there's a way bigger chance I'm going to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a huge barrier.
Yeah.
Like, when an album's 75 minutes long and
so overbearing.
Yeah, I just listened to... I'm featuring a 75-minute album on this week's Samsonite Samurai, so... That's why I kind of listened to Maps right away.
Most likely want to check that out. Okay, we should move on. Kyle?
Austin, you might want to hear what it is, but...
Well, that's probably true, actually.
I'll keep that a secret.
Yeah, okay. Kyle, all right, so, what have you been listening to this fine week? Yeah.
I've been listening to older Kendrick Lamar, like, Overly Dedicated. Have you guys heard it?
I haven't.
No, I mean, I've only listened to Section 80, so how's with the older stuff?
It's more like swag rap than his newer stuff is. You know?
That's great.
Like, he
ponies
himself a little bit. But at the same time...
We have
time,
to stop using that, please. You can't do that.
Well, you know. we'll call it braggadocious hip-hop, right?
That's what
hip-hop calls it. All right. But he's so talented, and he spits with so much energy sometimes that it really just gets me going, man.
Sure. Was it his own mixtape, or was it like just a Black Hippie collaboration thing?
No, it's his last mixtape.
Before Section 80?
Yeah, Section 80 is not technically a mixtape, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
It's his last official mixtape. It's good. I showed you a couple songs from it the other night. I think one you really hated.
One I hated a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I love his verse on that song, though.
Yeah, but...
It's the one where he sings about Pussy and Patron. What else?
Yeah.
Want to get off Kent Lamar? Still listening to that Cloud Nothings album. I listened to some Jay Retard this week.
Nice.
I know at least two of you guys love.
Let's have this discussion. Blood Visions versus Watch Me Fall.
Blood Visions.
Blood Visions. No question.
Not even close. Blood Visions is so much more aggressive.
True.
And that's part of the reason why I like it that much more. I still like Watch Me Fall a lot, but Blood Visions is... That's probably one of my favorite albums ever.
I agree.
That album is so loud, man. It's so loud. You listen to it and just pound your skull into submission.
What about you, Steve? Are you a big Jay Retard fan?
I really haven't listened to him much, so I don't really have a lot to contribute. He's one of the guys I keep meaning to, but you know, other shit gets in the way.
Very worth it. He's a talented dude. I don't doubt that. This is why I respect Jay Retard. It's because a lot of these, you know, garage rock bands, Vivian Girls and, you know, Harlem and stuff like that, they're, you know, making sort of garage rock songs and, you know, playing the character of this sort of, you know, 60s type, you know, garage rock rebel. But Jay Retard, he was actually an insane drug addict. Like, he lived the life of garage rock stands.
Yeah.
I know none of you guys have seen it because it's not out anywhere, but if you actually see his documentary... It appears to me that Jay was on the right path when he died, and he just overdid it on his last night. Like, he wasn't... He was off the drugs for the most part when he died.
Yeah. But I mean, like... I mean, not that I have respect for him for being a coke addict or anything, but...
Crack addict, too.
He was?
He did everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's impressive that he could, you know, create that huge a body of awesome music, too, while still being insane, and I think he dropped out of school at 16, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he just fell right into place with the Oblivions and everything, and that whole, what was that record label in Nashville? In the Red or something?
Shit. Yeah, that's it.
Or Goner. Goner Records.
Goner.
Yeah. And, yeah, he was a cool dude.
He was literally a crackhead before he released Blood Visions. Like, he went from crackhead to musician.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good musician, anyway. On some of his stuff before then, good, but... Yeah, he had a couple... He had, like, a rough period of 6 months where he was, like, homeless and smoking crack every day, and...
Wow.
I think Night of Broken Glass is actually written from when he was a crack addict.
Huh. Have you ever listened to any of the Retards albums? What was that, like, Teenage Hate? Was that, I think, the first one?
I've only heard Grown Up Fucked Up. That's it.
Teenage Hate is fantastic. I think it's right after those Get Real Stupid EPs he put out, which was literally him in a pickle bucket and his guitar.
Yeah.
He didn't have a drummer. And, Teenage Hate, which is the first Retards, it's like, you know, it's garage punk that, you know, starts at, you know, 0 seconds, and then after 40 minutes, it literally doesn't stop. Like, it's almost the same tempo, and a lot of times the same key, and it just sort of, it pounds your skull. It's a very enjoyable listen.
Have you ever heard that Terror Visions album?
What was it?
Have you ever heard that Terror Visions album?
No. Was that another one of his bands?
Yeah, and it's... You think Blood Visions is abrasive? That album is almost unlistenable. It's like... It's like if Jay Retard was doing noise, basically.
I'm writing this down as we speak.
I'm intrigued now.
It's not the greatest thing in the world. I think the album's called World of Shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's so badly recorded.
It is actually called World of Shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's so abrasive. There's barely any melodies on it. It's just...
I love
Check
that
it out.
So much.
Check
oh,
it
I have
out, I
have seen the album cover. It's a very attractive album cover too.
Yeah, it looks like he just woke up with like shit on his face.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's exactly what it looks like actually. Yeah. It says
is it a world of shit on his face.
Yes, it is, Steve.
Exactly.
Apparently, it's getting a reissue soon, but. He was in two synth punk bands. He was in Lost Sounds and he was in Terror Visions. That Lost Sounds album, which I actually found at CD Alley, a record store in Chapel Hill, for not but $10, and I regret not buying it. I hope it's still there.
It probably is,
man. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know exactly who.
His side project don't get anywhere near as much love as his solo stuff does.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because some of it's really good.
Yeah, a lot
of
it is really good.
That Lost Sounds
album. That Lost Sounds album, I loved it.
Yeah, I actually did listen to that, and also really liked it. I didn't realize synth punk was a thing, but...
Actually, this is an interesting story. Do any of you know who Jandek is?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, of course you would have, Steve. You seem like the most likely to know who he is. Anyway, he's this dude in Houston, Texas, who... nobody knows who he is, or, you know, his name or anything. There are theories and stuff, but he, ever since 1979, he's released at least two or three albums a year, and I think he's up to, like, 60-something now. But, it's just literally him and a detuned guitar for the first couple albums, and he just sort of moans these folk songs, like, with just a completely atonal guitar. Anyway, his first album was called Ready for the House or something, and it was released under the name The Units, and this synth punk band called The Units, who I guess have been around since like the late 70s, actually sued him, and that's a lot of where people get a lot of info from that lawsuit that he had to have with them, and you know, they go see the old court documents and everything. There's an awesome documentary which everyone should watch called, it's like Corwood Industries, I think it's called. Yes, that's my Jandek thing. He's an interesting guy. His music isn't entirely good, but yeah.
Where would we find that? Like his,
the CDs I have, it's on YouTube, but you can't buy his stuff in stores. You have to do a mail order service. And you know, like, he actually wrote me a birthday note one time. It was cool. And yeah, it was sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, nobody knows who he is. He'll occasionally play a live show and then just, you know, go on living for a few years and release a bunch of albums.
That's
anyway,
for,
D-Red. For him,
right?
Yeah. God, I have to stop doing that. We have to continue. Mark, you're up. Mark.
I'm up.
Yeah.
I exited my last FM. I had started listening to Pixies since our discussion last week.
Ooh,
thank God.
About Pavement versus Pixies. So,
what album did you start with?
I just listened to Surfer Rosa and Doolittle so far.
And are you converted yet?
I don't know. I don't know if I've given them all enough time yet. I don't know. Nothing's made me. I haven't liked either of them more than Slanted and Enchanted yet.
That's
we'll
a wrong
that.
First. It was so. It was so immediate when I started listening to Pixies. It was like within 2 days, I had decided they were my favorite band ever.
Well, I can sort of agree with Mark on this. You know, I had listened to him for a few years before I really became, you know, such a diehard of them. And, yeah, Doolittle was actually an album my dad had, since I was really young, and he was just playing the car sometimes, and, I don't know why he had it, because he usually doesn't listen to stuff like that, but, I remember it from being, like, you know, before when I was in the car on car trips. We'd listen to that. And then, you know, I picked it up again when I started listening to a lot more music, and I was like, oh, wow, I remember this album, like, word for word. And, you know, after listening to it for, you know, a few months, it became, you know, biblical, almost.
The best Pixies album? I like Surfer Rosa better.
Surfer Rosa is more for me, but I think in general, I think Doolittle would probably be the consensus for best Pixies album.
Out of the two that I've listened to so far, I think I like Surfer Rosa a little bit more. They're both really good, though. I definitely enjoyed them.
Surfer Rosa does have the advantage of having Gigantic and Where Is My Mind on it.
I know. Two songs are amazing.
Oh, they're amazing. There's no other word for it.
Gigantic was never a huge song for me in terms of the Pixies catalog. I didn't dig it that much. Well, I mean, not that I didn't dig it much. It's a good song, but, like, there are other songs that, you know, made themselves known to me a lot more.
Yeah, so been listening to that.
Favorite Pixie song, everybody. Let's go. Kyle?
Hey, probably.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah. Shit, I can't remember what it's called. I'm sorry.
So it
can't be my favorite, obviously.
Yeah. I might say... The Holiday Song for me is a possibility. Broken Face, I always liked. Something Against You leading into Broken Face. And then, I guess, one for Mr. Greaves. That might be it, Mr. Greaves. Has anybody heard that, what's his name from TV on the Radio did an a cappella cover of Mr. Greaves?
Yeah.
That sounded like a depressed yeah.
I'm not a fan. I heard it. It made me really angry, but I
Why?
Heard it.
Why? The man loves,
I don't think,
loves the Pixies.
I know he loves the Pixies, but I don't think people should be allowed to cover them. It's kind of how I feel.
Really? It's like a Beatles type thing? Like nobody can satisfactorily cover the Beatles.
No.
It's like, to me, it's like covering the Beatles. You just don't do it.
Huh.
No matter how unique it is, no matter what kind of spin you want to put on it, you just can't cover the Pixies because you're not the Pixies.
I don't
like it when Frank Black covers the Pixies.
Yeah. The one Pixies cover, I mean, that I did actually genuinely like was They Might Be Giants' cover of Javelina, which, have you heard it before?
No. That's interesting, though.
It was on this Pixies tribute album called Dig for Fire, and, which... It was okay. A lot of people on it I didn't know, or at least I didn't know at the time. But They Might Be Giants. I was a huge fan of them when I found that song. And it's weird. It's like this sort of electronic type thing, and he's got this sort of his vocals pitch shifted down an octave, and like on this vocoder. It's very catchy. I'm tempted to say I like it more than the actual Javelina.
If I can be honest. Actually, Weezer does a cover of Bavaria that's really great.
Oh, yeah, I have heard that.
It's like Gory Ears Weezer, too, so I thought they did a really good job. It's not really, they don't do anything different, really. It's pretty much the same tempo, and they didn't change the structure of the song at all.
They have a bunch of
it's
live... Mogwai actually does Gouge Away. And, yeah, that sounds interesting. And British Sheep Power does a version of Caribou. But yeah, that's about all I recognize from here. OK Go does Gigantic.
Guys, bad, not good Pixies album. Come on, they gotta do it.
Okay.
How amazing.
Sure, let's do that.
Bye, Derek.
Yeah. But there are a lot of cool, I don't know about cool, but, Weezer versions of early Nirvana songs. Like they did Mr. Mustache, which is always one of my favorite Nirvana songs. I think they did one for Big Cheese. Yeah.
I actually know something about this. They did Two Nights. Yeah, I know. I'm like a Weezer historian.
You are.
They did Two Nights in LA at the same venue. and they played two shows as Goat Punishment.
Okay? Oh, I have heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and one show was all Oasis covers, but nobody recorded it, so you can't find those anywhere. And the other night was Nirvana.
All in all, I think they probably recorded the right night, because I don't care about
Oasis. Yeah, they picked the right night. Sure.
Well, I like Oasis, but they're no Nirvana, or Weezer, or Pixies, or Bad Bad Not Good. I don't even... I've never listened to a Gorillaz album, and I really don't feel the urge. Should I?
Plastic Beach is great. Like
Plastic Beach is really good, actually. So yes, you should.
Cool. Isn't Jarvis, whatever his name is, on that?
Yeah, well, he's one of the dudes who came up with it. Mm-hmm. Who's like masterminded the whole Gorillaz things.
Right.
And Snoop Dogg.
I guess Dell had something to do with it, at least.
Yeah, Dell was involved, at least at the beginning. I don't know about nowadays.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did have, like, some guest spots on, I think, two or three songs.
Cool. Wait, Mark, was that just you who went?
I guess, yeah.
Before, if you have anything else to say, please do.
All right. I've been just, the new Grimes album that came out.
I still haven't heard that, but you're not a fan, right?
I was a little disappointed. Based on the songs that I'd already heard, those were probably like the only two that I really liked off the album. I don't know, it just kind of breezed by me. I like Genesis is a good song, I like that. And Genesis, Oblivion, Vowels Equal Space and Time, or I thought were all good songs. The rest of it, I don't know. I can't even make out what she's singing half the time.
This reverb is like a cancer that's just eating away at music. But I heard one of those Grimes songs coming in. Just on the drive home today. And it was on, I don't know if any of you listen to, Sirius XMU, which is, they play music I like sometimes, but all in all, it's like just a really sort of gross channel. It's like sort of very blatant, like hipster wankery. And, yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, groundbreaking music. Yeah, that's a phrase I just coined. And,
better than hipster fellatio.
I'm gonna go back and edit. I'm gonna put the word
what?
I'm gonna edit that over with just an innocuous word. Yeah. And anyway,
go ahead.
I heard that Grimes album, the Grimes song, whatever. And it synthesizers to me, like, they're getting more and more reminiscent of 80s pop, like 80s pop. Like,
yeah, and that's exactly what
today. They're so jabby and just very, very cheap sounding, and that's not at all something I can get behind. Because a good synthesizer, there's nothing that sounds better. Like, well programmed and, you know, the right amount of reverb, you know, everything on that, it's all great. Then if you just have something, you know, some preset on a Casio, it sounds terrible.
So you're saying you like the analog deeper sense better.
Yeah, well, I analog or digital doesn't matter to me as long as it doesn't sound cheap. Just cheap synthesizers are, again, a cancer that's eating away at today's music.
Yeah, I'm honestly fine with cheap sounding synths. I mean, I do tend to prefer the warmer analog sound. But yeah, reverb, that is my biggest pet peeve of last year. was all this fucking reverb.
That's how Chillwave ruined everything for everybody.
Seriously, that's why I couldn't get into it.
What is this here? I hear about a new Night Jewel coming album coming out this year. Nobody cares about you, Night Jewel. You should just stop now, because you had your time, and now it's over.
Didn't they hear that Chillwave was 2009 to the summer of 2009?
Yeah, summer of 2009, and then it's like, Ska, we don't want to hear from you again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's like I love 80s synth pop. Like that's one of my favorite things. But yeah, the way people have been, you know, reviving it these days, just I don't know. It's like on one hand I think I should be enjoying it, but I'm not. And part of it is it's just all slathered and so much reverb and I don't know what else.
Like John Mouse, for example. John Mouse actually takes that and does something. Like he can use a cheap synthesizer to make it sound interesting. Grimes does not have the same effect.
Yeah, like even John Mouse, though, I wasn't really into. I mean, I liked him more than some of the other similar acts that were coming out at the time, but. Yeah.
He had potential to become sort of like a meme type celebrity who, you know, said outrageous things like Bon Iver or Lana Del Rey is now. But I think his that opportunity is passed now.
His interviews are I've never even listened to his music, but I just love him because of his interviews.
They almost rival the Liturgy interviews in terms of in terms of giving me douche chills. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Someone should just follow that guy around all day and say that. But sad. I think his music is okay. Also, another thing is like everyone's trying to be Ian Curtis with their voice, which I think John Mouse is a little bit guilty of. But you know, everybody wants to be the deep, rich baritone dude, and it comes off as forced a lot.
Not everybody.
That might be
can.
Their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Most people cannot.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Live
did you know that?
Transmission.
Ian Curtis didn't actually kill himself. He was just trying to make his voice less deep. That joke didn't really make sense, but I thought it had. Anyway.
It doesn't, but it's funny.
Yeah.
That's way more offensive than fellatio.
What? Hanging jokes? I don't think so.
Making a suicide joke. Whatever.
Yeah.
He was just trying to do his laundry. God.
And ended up hanging himself?
Well, I mean, if he was going to hang himself, why would he be listening to the idiot, you know?
It was because it's not that good an album. I don't know.
Never heard it.
It's okay. Just listen to the Stooges. Anything else Iggy Pop does isn't that worth listening to. But don't listen to the weirdness, because that's worse than almost anything you can think of.
I'm going to listen to only the weirdness, just for you, Els.
It's like only listening to Bossa Nova. It's not going to do you any good. Bossa Nova being the Pixies album. I don't know about listening to Bossa Nova, the genre. But anyway, speaking
Bossa
of...
Bossa Nova genre is pretty nice.
Yeah. Speaking of alternative rock suicides, on Yahoo Answers I saw the other day, someone said, help me name my shotgun. And the top answer was Nirvana Ruiner. I got a hard chuckle at that.
That's nice.
That is nice. Anyway,
I thought
Steve, tell us what you've been listening to.
Let's see. So, bring up the old Last FM. I've actually been looking through the Glitch Pop tag on Rate Your Music.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know why. Didn't do that sooner because like three of the top 20 albums are the three Max Tundra albums, which I all love. So yeah, it's been Emily Simon, Baths. I actually finally listened to it Cerulean before Milo's tape dropped.
Baths is he's like a glitch pop dude, and he, for all you listeners who don't know, did all the instrumentals. Well, I should say Milo used all the instrumentals for his new mixtape. And they're fantastic.
They're very good instrumentals, yeah. I really like that album a lot.
And
another
note, in the future, we will be having an interview on the blog with Baths by our friend Josh, is currently in recuperation for an arm surgery, and we wish him all the best. Steve, continue.
Hey, Josh. So pretty much going through that tag, going through like some of the top artists and albums on there, and yeah, it's a lot of good stuff, a lot of stuff I like.
Nice. I actually have a Bats album downloaded, and I plan to be listening to. That stuff is so catchy. Like, there's not a song he's made that isn't unbelievably catchy. They'll weasel your way into your head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think if everybody's said what they've been listening to, it's time to move on.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Anyway, on to the next segment. Insert segment music here. This is a game, I guess, that I've been, it's a game I invented, but I have no fun to play it with, because I have, no friends to play with, because, my friends don't listen to hardcore punk. But the game is, I'm gonna list to you either a program of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, or an acronym hardcore punk band, and you have to decide which is which.
All right. Are we gonna compete against each other, or do we compete?
Yeah. I'll keep points. So if I was to say, if I was to say DOA, that would be the Canadian hardcore band. DOA classic album being Hardcore 81. But if I was to say, let me pull up my list here. If I was to say WPA. That would be the Works Progress Administration, which was a national labor program for the unemployed people of the Great Depression.
Problem with this game is that it can't be a regular feature.
It cannot be a regular feature, yeah. But
I'm going to suck like at this game.
Okay, so if you know either a lot about hardcore or a lot about the New Deal, chances are great at this game. I'm sorry, Mark, do you know what the New Deal is? I don't know. Mark's Canadian, so
yeah. Not really.
Okay, well, the New Deal was this economic program that FDR, which was our most crippled president, he started in the Great Depression to hopefully help out the economy, and it had a bunch of programs that had three-letter acronyms. So I figured they would sound a lot like hardcore bands who also occasionally had three-letter acronyms. Anywho's.
Okay.
I think you'd be most physically crippled, because let's not forget that Bush was literally a retarded person.
He was almost, he was full-on retarded. He was straight-tard, I would say. Anyway.
Cool. Anyway. Podcasting for liberals.
Yeah. Okay, so. Number one. Alright, so I'll go, the order I guess could be Kyle, then Mark, and then Steve. Okay.
Okay.
This should be a softball. The SSA.
That is New Deal.
Indeed. It would be the Social Security Act. Okay, so.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna let us all guess before you revealed.
Oh, no, I'm just going to each one and then letting you. Okay.
It would be better.
Alright, yeah, sure. I'll do that.
Okay.
Alright. So, Kyle, I'm having that point stricken from the record.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
Okay. Alright. GISM.
I feel like that has to be a punk band.
Yeah.
Fuck, I have no clue.
If it's real, does that mean the punk name's band is JISM?
Well, that's why no punk band would turn that away.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with punk band.
Punk band.
Well, you are all correct.
All right.
Good for everybody. I'm gonna put a little horn in here, like da-da, as like a correct. Okay. All right. PWA.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with New Deal.
I'm gonna go with punk band.
I'll say New Deal.
It is a New Deal program. It's the Public Works Administration.
Oh yeah, that's actually pretty. Never mind.
I don't remember any of the stuff either, and I learned it last year. Don't feel bad for yourself. Okay.
All right.
All right. Next one. DYS.
Punk band.
Yeah, it's gotta be a
band. Gonna say band.
Everybody says band?
Yep.
Yes.
It is indeed a, it is a Washington, D.C. crossover thrash band from the late 80s, so props to everybody.
Steve is actually a New Deal historian, so we're
you seem like you might be.
Joke's on you.
I know nothing about American history and nothing about hardcore punk, but
these are pure guesses. I have an in-depth knowledge of one of those things, and I'm going to let you guess which. Okay.
We all know you're a FDR buff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a great man. Okay.
Polio.
Well, indeed, polio. Yeah.
Polio represent.
Very, very subtle. Okay. This one should be easy. DRI.
Wait, what was it?
DRI.
Ugh.
Punk band.
That one's not easy. I'll go with punk band too.
I have no.
I'll go New Deal just to be contrary. I have no idea.
That is actually one of the very first crossover thrash bands from they started in 1983.
Nice.
It's short for the Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, and they were a great San Francisco punk band. They are documented in a great book I have called "Give Me Something Better," which is a history of San Francisco punk. Anyways. They're a good band.
I'm betting 1,000 right now.
Yeah.
I have no clue what I'm doing. These are...
Right. Yeah, Mark actually these got are 4 out of 4.
Pure guesses.
Okay. FSA.
New Deal.
If it ends in A, New Deal.
New Deal.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay. That is indeed a New Deal program.
Yes.
It's the Farm Security Administration, helping poor farmers.
You can just assume that it's administration, in my opinion.
That's oof. I did not think about that.
Or act. Okay.
All right. Ready? All right. FCIC.
That's New Deal.
Punk band. I'm going with New Deal, too.
Steve says punk band. Everyone?
Yep.
New Deal? That is actually a New Deal program. Steve, you're letting us down here.
You're the last, man.
I'm so good at this.
As of right now, it is Kyle has 5, Mark has 6, and Steve has 4. Yeah, oof. All right.
How many more do you have?
I have almost infinitely many, because my library is... There were a lot of hardcore bands with acronyms. Anyway, let's do this forever. Let's just say first to 8 will win. All right.
Sure.
All right.
TVA.
Punk band.
I'm going with punk band, too, even though I already said A means administration.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go band.
All of you are wrong.
Ah.
Listen to your punk rock. Okay, all right. Tell you what, I only have one more, and I was joking about knowing that I actually only have one more. All right.
Okay. So the best we can hope for is to tie.
True.
Best I can hope for is a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna wait for Kyle to say his answer first. No, I won't.
All right.
I'm not. You have to answer first.
All right. Here it is. IRA.
New Deal.
Yeah, sure. New Deal.
Punk band.
It is actually both a New Deal program and a hardcore punk band.
Why would you do that?
It was the Indian Reorganization Act, and it was also a Colombian hardcore band.
Colombia, like from Colombia?
The country of Colombia, yeah. So I'm going to give each of you one half of a point. Because any good historian or punk rock fan would have known about that. That brings us up to Kyle, who is 5.5, Mark, who is 6.5, and Steve, who is bringing up the rear with 4.5. And I have no idea how to wrap this segment up because I didn't really think about this beforehand. But that was a game we play, and now it's time to move on to the next segment.
Yep.
Yeah, Mark gets to write album of the week this week.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his prize.
Scott, how did the non-American sure. and non-punk fan win that?
I only missed one. Yeah. Yeah. He got every single one. What do you want me to do?
Well, obviously, we get better at this.
Oh, I missed two, actually. We all missed the one.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the next segment. I guess the list. Kyle, would you like to explain what the list is this week?
Yeah, top three live shows that you've ever been to of all time in the world.
In your life.
In your lifetime.
All right, who would like to start us out? Because I know I'm not the biggest music going person, I guess, but that's a, yeah.
Why don't I start? Because I know you'll have something to say about my first one.
All right.
Fucked Up in Toronto.
This is actually a fairly well-known show because it was at North by Northeast, correct?
Yes.
At, what's that place called? Something Square?
Dundas Square.
Right.
Right, yes. right next to the Eaton Center in downtown Toronto.
And everyone knows the best place to see F'd Up would be outdoors, preferably Absolutely. In a giant square. And, there's actually, I think if you search F'd Up on YouTube, the first video to come up is this live video, or at least the first live video. And it's, I don't know why I'm the one talking about this. You were the one who's at the show. Jesus Christ.
Just keep going. Lock up, it's working.
God. No, you do it. You do.
He's just so pushy.
I know. All right, tell us about the show, Kyle.
Just imagine Damien performing most of the set from up to 200 to 300 feet from the stage, and you have a pretty good idea what it was like. He basically just roamed around this huge public square. There was probably 10,000 people there. It was amazing.
I feel whenever I see live footage, I feel really sorry for the rest of F'd Up, because they're literally just standing there looking sad on the stage, and Damien's out having the time of his life.
I didn't look at the band once. I know I didn't. It was an hour long game of follow the Damien.
It's the Damien show, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about doing it in a public square is a lot of people had no idea what was going to happen, and then, like, this violent moshing just starts.
I will say this about the rest of F'd Up, is the only time I've seen them get really super intense is at that 12-hour show they did in New York, where it was literally just them, and they had some other people. They had Ezra Koenig, who came and sang a Descendants song, and, it was just them surrounded by a circle of people for 12 hours, and
Descendants actually played after Fucked Up at that show I was at.
Oh, they did?
I wasn't there because I went to go see PS I Love You, is the next thing.
Are you telling me you skipped a 12-hour F'd Up show to go see PS?
No. I'm talking about the show in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Descendants was the headliner that night. Off played after Fucked Up, and then it was Descendants at, I believe, 9 p.m.
Okay, you can't skip that for any band.
For PS I Love You, I can.
Oh, that... You made the wrong decision there, sir.
Your mark is on my side here.
No, I love... Yeah, I am. I love PS I Love You. But you know who else I love? The Descendants. And you know who else I love? Off. And you know who else I love, like, the most? Is F'd Up.
I saw Off, and I saw Fucked Up. And then I saw PS I Love You.
Oh, it's probably speaking of douche chills, Keith Morris, anybody? Good lord.
Oh god. He's a crazy person.
He's my least favorite Black Flag singer.
Yeah.
Alright, here's everybody's favorite Black Flag singer, not including Hank.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay. Look, I'm not gonna turn this into Austin Talks About Hardcore Trivia again, so anyway.
That
my favorite is Ron Reyes. Continuing.
I've only heard Damaged, so I'm kind of not that familiar.
You find yourself the first 4 years compilation. You listen to that. That's some of the best punk rock you'll hear. Good sir.
All right. I will. I probably really like it. I like Damaged a lot. Who's the lead singer on Damaged? I guess he...
That's Hank, yeah.
Okay, he's my favorite by default.
Nobody... How many books have you read about Black Flag people? Because I've read 3.
Wow.
See, I've only read, like, 1.
Did you read Get in the Van?
I didn't read any Austin. Who the fuck reads books about Black Flag?
Get in the Van is a classic of American literature.
I don't read that many music books, really. I read...
The Pinkerton one?
No, I haven't read that. I've read the Doolittle 33 and a Third, which is pretty great. Mm. And I've also read the In the Aeroplane Over the Sea 33 and a Third, and that's pretty much it.
Did they not do one for Pinkerton?
They did, but I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, they're hard to find in bookstores. And there's... You can't find them, like, the pirated PDF anywhere, because I've spent literally hundreds of hours searching. Not literally, but I've spent many hours searching.
I think Borders' website had it, but obviously I can't do that anymore.
Those things are fantastic. John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats wrote one about Master of Reality, the LP of which I'm actually holding in my hand right now. And it takes the form of a short novel. He just wrote a novel about a guy, a little kid in a mental asylum, just talking with an interviewer about how much, you know, how great Master of Reality is.
I'm pretty sure Kim from Sonic Youth wrote the Pixies one.
Did she?
I think.
That they wrote one about Teenage... Daydream Nation. And they... Yeah. Let me see.
They're great. I wish I could find more of them. They're on Amazon, but not the ones I want.
Yeah. I wish they were longer, because, like...
Yeah.
They're, like, 100 pages each, or a little bit more, maybe. But, I mean, I've never actually read one.
I gotta get the Pinkerton one. I need to get the Pinkerton one.
Yeah,
I gotta find it.
That John Donnell one on Masters of Reality sounds really interesting. Like, I actually want to read something that he's written outside of the Mountain Goats project.
Yeah, I came very, very close to talking to him, meeting him, and I was, like, I was within spitting distance of him, but he was holding his crying baby, and I thought it probably wouldn't be the best time to. It was at,
That's probably the right move. Yeah.
It was at this John Hodgman, John Hodgman is a comedian and writer. And,
oh yeah, love John Hodgman.
Yeah, I actually got to meet him too, and at that same show, the reading, it was, John Worster from he was the drummer for Superchunk, I got to meet him as well. And, he is, like, a comedy writer, too. He writes for a couple Adult Swim shows and has a radio show. And he's, like one of the most talented people and super funny. And I got to meet him. God, my stories go nowhere. Literally nowhere.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. You can just edit them all out.
It's true. But I'm not going to do that. anyway, I literally forgot what this segment was about.
Best live shows. Who's
live shows.
Right. Okay. Now I remember. You were talking about effed up before this derailment.
You can't say effed up. How dare you? Fucked up.
Oh, sorry. Fucked up. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally okay to swear if it's if it's the band's name.
Oh yeah.
I'm down with that. It's just force of habit, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I have to not do that for 7 hours of the day. I don't have the luxury of being able to do that.
I don't even remember they have a swear in their name
your grandma about them.
Yeah, not my grandma, but other people about them. Like, and then I just swear and I can see their expression, like, dude.
Yeah, chill with that. Anyway, okay, since I have a similar story, I guess mine is actually the same band. And seeing as I haven't been to many concerts, I would probably classify this as my favorite concert. It was Fucked Up in Chapel Hill. And they were opening, Waves was opening, who I enjoy their playing with Jay Retard's drum and bass player. And, let me say what you want about Waves. They make catchy, fun songs, and there is a giant mosh pit. And, somebody got on these giant shelves they have there and knocked down a woman who happened to be standing right below him. And, yeah, there was some...
What do I find that funny?
There were some straight douches at that particular segment of the show. But things got a lot friendlier, as Effed Up Fucked Up took the stage. And I got to ride on Damien's back, and I got to lick his scalp.
I actually saw that same tour, but not in Toronto. I saw them here in Buffalo, and when I saw Waves, Nathan was really sick.
Oh, Damien was really sick for mine.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. But
Nathan threw up at least 3 times while playing, just on the stage, just sat there on the stage.
Damien only did it once. He just went on, and then he felt a lot better after that. He said he ate a rotten apple.
It's interesting to me that you say that the mosh pit was bigger for Waves, because there was
no. It wasn't bigger. It was just it wasn't bigger. It was just more sort of malicious.
Yeah, we had like baby mosh pits for Waves. In my experience, everyone there was there to see Fucked Up.
Well, yeah, here too, but there were some. I mean, there were probably some, you know, some just
hardcore Waves fans.
Waves were sort of the flavor of the month at that time, and
yeah,
they don't have staying power like Fucked Up. But...
yeah.
Anyway, I did say it was friendlier, but I did get hit in the stomach once pretty hard. Just some. And then, didn't bother me again. And
there was a fight during Fucked Up in Buffalo. They actually had to stop the show. They were playing. They were playing "I Hate Summer," and two dudes grabbed each other's shirts and like,
"Hey, I love Summer."
Future thing. You know the Back to the Future thing, like in the diner.
I'm sorry, the Back to the Future thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, where they grab each other's shirts and hold up their fists, like, over their heads.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Nobody calls me chicken. You know, it was that kind of thing.
I hate it when people fight at shows.
Yeah. Damien stopped.
It's
Damien
just stopped. Annoying.
And he told both guys that he loved them, hugged them, and then everyone started moshing, and they started the song over again.
That's the best thing that's ever happened. I love that.
Damien told them he loved them.
Yeah, I know.
And everything was okay.
That guy's like the second coming of Christ.
He knew a shocking amount about Buffalo, by the way, when he was here. He talked about Mighty Taco, which is a regional restaurant. Yeah, they have the best commercials. I'll show you sometime. And he goes, the thing about Mighty Taco is it's really good, but it's not really Mexican food, you know?
Okay. There's a quote for the ages.
If there's anything Damien knows about, it's, you know,
it's tacos.
Mexican
taco
places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say it. That guy's fat. That's a true statement.
I'm fatter than Damien. I totally am. I want you guys to know that.
I have no response to that. What do you want me to do with that information?
There's nothing you can possibly say to that. Yes.
I know what I can say to that. Yep. We're moving on. So, Mark, tell us about your favorite shows.
Let's see. I didn't prepare my list well. I didn't prepare it concisely. There are lots I could say. No, I'm looking through them now. I'll say one of my favorites was probably Sloan.
Ooh, good choice.
This past year, I got to see them. Those guys, you can tell they've been doing what they've been doing for 20 years, because it's almost like clockwork how they get up. They were so good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they have such a discography to pull from, too. I mean, they have, 10 studio albums, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were
which
just
is less than 100.
But I mean, percentage-wise, it's like ratio of good material. It's probably a lot higher than Oak Montreal. Because I mean,
yeah, most of their albums are really good.
Everything Sloan touches is gold, like with very few exceptions.
Yeah, I know. Even I mean, they played, especially off their newest album, they played off of the Double Cross. They played, I'd say they played probably 10 songs or so. They played like, they played probably a little over 2 hours. They played like a 25 song set when I saw them. So
did they recently play a show with Rural Alberta Advantage and PS I Love You? Like, that seems like something you should have traveled thousands of miles for.
That's like the Canadian trifecta, like the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. They played, well, they played two, there were two shows in Toronto those nights. One was like fucked up PS I Love You. They played the same night. I can't remember who else played with them. But then the other night, I think it was
Sloan and Rural Alberta Advantage in Fucked Up and PS I Love You. That sounds right.
Jesus Christ, that's a...
Yeah, they were like two different nights, though. So, I can't remember who played which night, but they were... Yeah, they were pretty good lineups. I think I was... Yeah, that was in Toronto. I wasn't near Toronto at that time.
I've never seen Sloan live, but I will say this. The urinals at my school are Sloan brand urinals, and whenever I go pee, I just look, and then I smile. So that's
now my... that tangent was worth it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing.
No, that's a fantastic thing.
It's the best thing.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. You're up.
Alright, well, this is probably going to be unsurprising, but probably my favorite show would be Owen Pallett opening for the Mountain Goats. That was, I think, fall of 2009. So
I have to say I'm surprised.
Shocked.
For all of those who don't know, and why would you, Steve is his favorite, I would classify favorite human probably as Owen Pallett.
Yeah, close to it. So, well, I'll provide a little background. So I'm going to geek out about Owen Pallett a bit, but part of what really made me fall in love with him as an artist was when I started listening to recordings of his live shows, because he's just one guy and a violin, essentially, and a loop pedal. So all of his songs sounded really differently live when they did on the album, and this was fairly novel to me at the time, but I just really loved it and loved how he would reinterpret these songs in live setting. So I pretty much have every Owen Pallett live show between like 2005 and present day that was recorded. I have that. Have them on my computer.
Wow.
Which
have you listened to all of them?
Yeah, like all of them at least once. I mean, I collect them over the years. It's not every show he got recorded.
So you're a fish head, but with Owen Pallett.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
I had a similar thing with Frank Zappa, where I had about 50 Frank Zappa shows, and I had every show from 1974, which I said, up to then was probably his high point. I don't have any of those now, but I was real big into him.
Oh yeah, but Zappa, that's really, really understandable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, back to Owen. So his chance to, when it finally came around, the chance to actually see him live was, pretty big deal. And yeah, the show was really awesome. This was at the point in his live tours when he actually had a guy playing along with him. He was a Toronto musician by the name of Thomas Gill, and he pretty much played guitar and bass, and I think a little bit of percussion. But yeah, that was basically my night to fanboy over Owen Pallett a lot.
Did he get to play a full set? Because
I got a full set, but actually for an opening act, he played close to an hour, which was pretty nice.
That's pretty good.
I'd call that a full set.
I was really pleased with it. This was right before Heartland came out too, so I got to hear a lot of the songs from that. What was really cool was that he played some older, more obscure songs that he doesn't very often. Which, you know, as a diehard Owen Pallett fan, was really great to hear. So yeah, just overall really great show. And then the Mountain Goats were the main act. And I really wasn't too familiar with them at the time, but that is also I enjoyed that more than I thought I would.
I have not that intense, but a similar thing with the Mountain Goats.
Because
dude has hundreds of songs, maybe. I don't know, maybe not hundreds, but a few hundred. And there is like a sect of people just devoted to the, you know, collection and dissection of every single Mountain Goat song and what it means and where it fits, the mosaic of his work.
I met some of those people at that show in Philadelphia.
And they do actually collect live recordings, and especially stage banter. Like, people will talk to you for hours on the internet about Mountain Goat stage banter.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah. One of the best parts of Owen's set was he and Tom started singing Mariah Carey's "Why Are You So Obsessed with Me" for like 15 seconds. Like, as one song was like fading out, they just started bursting into falsetto.
Nice.
And so yeah, that was a pretty baller. And so yeah, that was.
did you get to meet him after the show?
Yes, I did. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, I did get to meet him after the show. Shook his hand, kind of.
Piss yourself.
Yeah, not quite. I'd save that for afterwards, but yeah.
That really doesn't happen to me.
Yeah. He signed my shirt.
With you in the shirt?
No, it was a shirt I bought at the merch stand.
Okay. Just checking.
But I have worn the shirt since.
True. I can never bring myself to wear signed shirts because it just looks too weird for me. Unless I'm like wearing a jacket and covers.
Yeah, I don't wear it very often.
Yeah.
I'd just be really afraid of ruining the shirt.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that...
Yeah. Can you wash it?
Apparently so. We used a permanent Sharpie, so it seemed to be fine.
Was it a white shirt?
Yeah, it was a white shirt.
Yeah, with a black shirt, I don't see how that would work. Never
mind.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Damien when you go see Fucked Up. Like, you're pretty much forced to meet him if you're in the mosh pit after the show.
Oh, that's awesome. Really?
Like, Really? He ends every show in the mosh pit, pretty much.
I licked his scalp, sir. I think I got to know him a little bit better than people who just met him.
I showed him the background on my phone, which at the time was a picture of Damien screaming. He seemed really pleased by that.
My computer desktop is a picture of him in the mud and screaming.
Oh, yeah.
You know that picture, don't you?
I know that picture.
Yeah.
Well, it took a really long time. Maybe we shouldn't do three.
Yeah, let's just do this. Kyle, let's just do this quick round, I guess.
Quick round?
Yeah.
Okay, Lightning Bolts.
Oh, I want to see him so bad.
And Broken Social Scene here in Buffalo.
You have to talk a little bit about Lightning Bolt.
Intense. They only played like 40 minutes. They played on the stage, which was kind of lame, but it was a really small venue, so I'm not sure it would have worked otherwise.
Yeah.
I guess they played at the same venue in 2006, and there were problems because they played on the floor. So that's what I heard when I talked to somebody that worked there anyway. So they had to play on the stage this time.
What tour? It was 2006, you said?
No. I didn't see them in 2006. I saw them in 2011, April Fool's Day.
Oh, that must have been nice. It was only 40 minutes. Were they opening for anyone?
No. There were some weird openers, actually. There was like a drone band that like showed videos and just played really weird drones and the weirdest accompanying events. Like, it was this 3-minute loop I've never seen a live show like that ever.
The Butthole Surfers used to play video behind their show, and yeah. I don't know if it was all like people being murdered and pigs being slaughtered and stuff like that. Like they just had a loop of the Kennedy assassination on.
Of course, yeah.
And okay, I have to tell the story. It takes place in, well, it doesn't take place, it happened in real life, but it was in this book called Our Band Could Be Your Life, which I talked about last week. But, yep. One of Gibby Haynes' friends was the sister of a friend of Jimmy Carter's daughter. So Jimmy Carter's daughter was friends with this girl whose sister was friends with Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers. And, Jimmy Carter came to pick up his daughter. And while he was in the kitchen talking to the girl's parents, he left his briefcase unattended in the living room, where Gibby Haynes walked in, opened up, and then proceeded to press his junk on, and then closed it very quietly, walked away, and then nobody ever knew.
This couldn't have been when he was president, right?
No, it was a little bit after he was president, yeah.
Okay. But I imagine still. Secret Service would have done something in that situation.
Speaking of people going insane from drug use, Gibby Haynes, when he was, like, towards the end of his run with the Butthole Surfers, when he was doing way too much acid, like, he went, like, just head over heels insane. Like, he became a legitimate crazy person. And he's already just a total scumbag, and scumbag combined with drug addiction is not a good person to make. There's some horrible, horrible stories about things that Gibby Haynes did.
Yeah, like putting his junk on Jimmy Carter's briefcase.
That is in no way horrible, sir. That is commendable.
Really?
His dick particles got near Jimmy Carter, if not on him.
Did Jimmy Carter ever find out?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know if he read Our Band Could Be Your Life, but
I doubt he did.
Maybe he's a big Mission of Burma fan, but yeah.
I wouldn't, but Jimmy Carter might like some decent music. I'll leave the possibility open.
Maybe he's like really into doom metal or something. Like he loves Sun or like Earth.
Sun. Oh man.
I heard Bill Clinton really likes Sun and Lightning Bolt. I heard he's really into them.
Yeah, he loves the aggressive noise rock. His rock. Okay, yet another tangent. Mark, you're up.
I'm up. Again?
Live show.
I'm gonna go with one I just saw this year. It was actually just a local band. They're called Kid Street. Kind of like just a fun electropop kind of band, but their live show was really good. Basically, the band is just, they're actually three siblings. So they have a drummer, one of the guys a drummer, the girl, she plays a synth and sings, and the other guy, he plays synth as well, but half the time he was jumping around the stage like a maniac, mm-hmm. and like, with a whistle in his mouth and blowing a whistle, and what were you gonna say?
It wasn't a slide whistle,
it was just a normal whistle.
Say, Mark, didn't you review that for our website, ypoiw.blogspot.com?
Yes, I did.
What does that stand for? I can never remember.
Yeah, it's really
your personal opinion
accent.
Is wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I did review that show, and it was, I mean, they were just really good. That's the most fun I've probably had at a show since I started going to shows. Like, I had that feeling, like, what are you gonna say?
You can change the name of the blog at any time, you know. Like, it's not too late.
I think it is exactly too late.
No, it's not. I could change it right now to anything you want. We could be anything you want at blogspot.com.
But using the same initials as YPOIW, we can change it to anything.
No,
using the same.
No, we can change our URL on Blogger.
Hmm. This is weird how this came up that quickly.
Well, you guys said it was a weird acronym.
I was making a goof,
yeah.
It is a weird acronym, but I like that it's a weird acronym.
I wish it was YPIOW so it could be pronounced Yippee-Yow. And it really doesn't stop me from saying Yippee-Yow, but it's not, you know, technically English language pronounced that way.
Just do it anyway.
I think with the way English language works, you could justify that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's Wapoyu.
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah. That's what I don't.
Kind of looks and sounds like an Indian tribe or Native American or whatever you're supposed to call it.
we're Iroquois, everybody.
Yes, dear. This has been the weirdest tangent, and I didn't even start it.
It was all Kyle's fault.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Steve, you're up.
Number two, Arcade Fire last year.
Oh.
Who?
Arcade Fire.
That was a what?
That was a subtle
Never heard. Never heard of him.
Oh, well, let's see. Well, they're a Canadian band. And they're quite good at what they do. I think I might be alone in saying that, but I'm a fan of them. And I think they should get more recognition because they put on a really good live show.
They're kind of like the most obscure band.
They're kind of underground, right? Like they're kind of indie. Like not a lot of people know about them. Obscure.
Oh yeah.
I love the independence musics. For the record, I joke about not knowing who Arcade Fire is, but I did actually not know that they were Canadian, so there's that. Somehow that flipped me. Yeah.
Well, based in Canada. Wynn's from Texas.
Yeah, Wynn Butler's from America, and his brother. But, yeah, they
with a name like Wynn Butler, how can you not be from Texas?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
It's a good. It's fucking Arcade Fire. It's like a religious experience, you know.
You're not gonna not like Arcade Fire.
What else can you say? Yeah.
I guess I'll go. Yola Tango. I saw. And they're getting up there. They're aging, but still put on a heck of a show. It was at the Wheel of Fortune tour or the Wheel tour. I don't know how anybody heard of that. But they had this giant wheel that they would spin in before every show, and it had different categories, like it would be like landed on like songs starting with S, or like songs with names in the title, or like Dump, which was James McNuff's first band, they would play songs from him, or let's see what else, they had, this is a really annoying one, they would read a classic sitcom script, like they would get some of their crew, and they would just like read an episode of Different Strokes, and apparently the people who got that got really angry because it got like very unfunny after a few minutes and they got cheated out of a whole set.
Wait, that was the whole show? They would just...
No, it was the first set. They did two sets.
Oh.
Oh,
that reminds
yeah.
me kind of the Elephant Sick show that I was at.
What did they do?
They had a game where you had to throw like a ring on top of a snowman. They would pick somebody in the audience. And whoever won the game got to tell them a song, any song that wasn't by an Elephant Six band, and they would go into the back, they would look it up, and then play it.
Oh, that's awesome. What one?
Yeah. Wow. I guess it was called, it was a song from Defiance, Ohio, I think they played when I saw them. I've never heard of this band, but Defiance, Ohio, I remember that.
What song would everybody pick? I might get them to play Smells Like Teen Spirit. I think there might be some laughs in that.
I was going to pick The World Is Yours by Nas.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Or maybe Brooklyn Zoo. I just wanted them to play a rap song.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Like the dudes from... The dudes from like Elf Power and Olivia Tremor Control playing a Nas song.
The best. Okay. And that, yeah, Yola Tango was good. Got to meet Ira before the show. Super nice. We talked about garage rock. And then, a few months later, I saw Superchunk. Did not get to meet anyone there, but the dude standing next to me was this almost homeless-looking dude, like borderline homeless-looking dude. He was wearing a shirt that said Friends of Mike Watt, who's a guy from the Minutemen. And yes. I said, nice shirt. And he was like, oh, thank you. And when he opened his mouth, I saw he had no more than 4 teeth. And so I just kept talking to him to see if I could count his teeth. And it was 4 teeth. He had 4 of them. And yeah, that's the Superchunk show. It was real nice. You can't dislike Superchunk. And actually, the guitarist who is not Mac, the bald one, I think his name's Jim Wilbur, I think. He used to work at the venue because those guys are from North Carolina.
Speaking of Mike Watt, doesn't he generally just cash in on being in the Minutemen? Aren't like all of his albums since then exactly the Minutemen?
I've never listened to a Mike Watt solo album, but he was in the Minutemen. He doesn't seem like the type of dude to cash in on things.
Well, I know, but I just mean that his music is supposedly really similar to what they were doing with the Minutemen.
It could be.
He hasn't evolved beyond that. Though I'm not sure anyone wants him to.
I think none of us can probably speak to that.
Yeah. You listen to Minutemen, right? Nobody listens to Mike Watt's stuff?
No, nope. just the Minutemen.
No.
Speaking of, that same record store I mentioned earlier, which is CD Alley in wonderful Chapel Hill, North Carolina, they have all the SST records they have are only $10 there. And so I've been meaning to somehow find my way back there and just, you know, buy a bunch of SST records in bulk. Like, they had New Day Rising and Zen Arcade and Double Nickels on the Dime and everything. It's fantastic.
In vinyl for $10?
Yep.
That's a pretty good deal.
It is a great deal. Anyhoozle, I think we should probably wrap this up because it's... Every time we've told ourselves to keep it short, it's gone on for 2 hours. I think this is probably a good opportunity to not do that. You know,
all right.
Increase the potential.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, okay. So I guess, any closing
remarks? Didn't even make it to emergency topics this time, so we did well.
I know, we're getting better.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
I thought we did pretty well.
Yeah.
We kept on topic for the most part.
Especially with parts about Gibby Haynes ponies junk all over. I'm gonna edit that out. Alright, so...
No, you can't.
I bet you will.
Every time you say that word, I'm gonna change it to the word ponies. Just me saying ponies. Ponies. Yeah, see?
What if I say ponies?
Ponies. You're gonna have to leave this part in.
We have to end this now. This is getting too weird. Okay, from all us folks over.
I'm fine with that, so long as you replace someone says a ponies with
ponies. True.
Yeah.
To be fair.
That would make zero sense at all. Oh God, this is getting so weird.
Oh my God.
Okay, Jesus. All right. From all of us here at Your Personal Opinion Is Wrong podcast, we are wishing you the... Yes, ponies.
I think we know what we're going to call this one.
Yeah, we have a name for this episode.
Ugh. You people are going to ruin me. From all of us here at the... Your Personal Podcast Is Wrong. Your podcast opinion, I don't... I'm so angry I can barely talk right now. From all of us here at Your Podcast Opinion Is Wrong.
This just fell apart.
God, we were doing so well. We were doing 10 out of 10, and you brought it to a 4.
Okay, do a real outro and then delete.
You don't even have to tell me twice. For one time? Okay, whatever. Jesus Christ. From all of us here at Your Podcast Opinion Is Wrong... Goodbye, and good night, depending on when you're listening to this, and good morning, if not. And this is Austin, signing off. And Kyle.
Bye.
Mark.
Bye.
And Steve.
Good night and good luck.
Goodbye, everybody. We've enjoyed having you.